It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You are now entering a critical thinking zone. Thinking caps are required beyond this point. From deep behind enemy lines, deep in the heart of the Midwest, it's your host, Andrew Coppins. And it's time for Critical Thinking.
Good Wednesday to you all. Andrew Coppins, Pat Oney. This is Critical Thinking. Welcome into a WTF Wednesday. We're going to have a lot of insanity to talk about, including one of the most insane rantings from one of the most insane people in leadership, in politics today. No, I'm not talking about the science trademark, the truth registered trademark, our Lord, Savior, President, Dr. Anthony Fauci. No. I am talking about Vladimir Putin, the President of Russia. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But before we get into that, I think there's something that we have to talk about up front in it. And it involves one of the most insane things that I have ever seen. And it is literally a pediatric gender clinic at Vanderbilt University. Correct me if I'm wrong, Pat, but Vanderbilt University is a private religious school, allegedly, initially.
Well, hold on a minute. What does private religious school mean in 2022?
Good question. Don't know the answer, Pat.
I don't know either.
But that's not the point. But the point is, yes, that's right. Vanderbilt has a transgender clinic for kids. What?
Why would kids need a transgender clinic exactly?
Well, you see, Pat, that they're going through a very rough mental phase, and they need to be able to transition. And they need medical intervention in order for them to be able to feel whole and not suicide themselves. Oh, wait. Suicidality actually goes up post-transition for teenagers.
Hmm. Interesting.
Confused. But Matt Walsh, who happens to live in the Nashville area, and his team of investigative reporters have been doing some research on this clinic. And he notes that, quote, from Twitter, "My team and I have been investigating the transgender clinic at Vanderbilt here in Nashville. Vanderbilt drugs, chemically castrates, and performs double mastectomies on minors. But it gets worse. Here is what we found. Let's start at the beginning." And he includes a video of it's Dr. Shane Taylor, or Cheyenne, or however you want to pronounce it, because it's S-H-A-Y-N-E. Could be Shane, could be Cheyenne, could be all sorts of different ways. Also, what's a woman? Is this a woman or not? You be the judge. But during a lecture in 2018, she explained how she was able to get Vanderbilt and Vanderbilt Medicine. Okay, more importantly, not necessarily just the university, but the medical college, right? To get into the transition game for minors. Take one guess, Pat, as to why Vanderbilt might want to be able to do this.
Does it have anything to do with like personal or religious beliefs type of a deal?
Pat?
Yeah.
Why would it have anything to do with religion? Transitioning and religion, why would they want to get into it?
Well, I mean, they're supposed to be, aren't they doing this under the guise of that to some degree?
What religion?
You're telling me, I don't know.
What guise of what religion?
I don't know.
Okay.
No, I don't know.
What is the root of all evil, Pat?
Greed? Money?
Bingo! Option B. It's all about money.
Starting in January 1st of 2017, according to the Affordable Care Act, insurance carriers are mandated to cover medical expenses for trans folks. Some of our BUMC financial folks in October of 2016, sorry, a couple years ago, put down some costs of how much money we think each patient would bring in. And this is only including top surgery. This isn't including any bottom surgery. And it's a lot of money. These surgeries make a lot of money. So female to male chest reconstruction can bring in $40,000. A patient just on routine hormone treatment, who I'm only seeing a few times a year, can bring in several thousand dollars. So that requires a lot of visits and labs. It actually makes money for the hospital. Now, these I got from the internet, but it's from the Philadelphia Center for Transgender Surgery, which does a lot of surgery for patients. And I just want to give you an idea of how much these bottom surgeries are making. And this is, I think this has to be an underestimate. This is for a vaginoplasty. They're saying they're quoting roughly around $20,000 for a vaginoplasty, but that doesn't include your hospital stay. That doesn't include your post-op visits. That doesn't include your anesthesia, your OR. So I would think that this has to be a gross underestimate. I think that's just like the surgeon's piece of it, which anybody who's ever been in the hospital knows that that's like 10% of it. And then the female to male bottom surgeries, these are huge money makers. Again, I think this has to be an underestimate that they're quoting around $20,000 for a phalloplasty. There's been different things that I've read that said it could be up to $100,000. Dr. Winokur, who's our surgeon, said that there's entire clinics where the entire clinic is supported just by their phalloplasties, and that is like a fraction of the surgeries that they're doing. These surgeries are labor intensive, they require a lot of follow-ups, they require a lot of OR time, and they make money. They make money for the hospital.
You know, I just brought the idea that this is a religious thing a second ago. If your religion is money, then that would be true.
Do you notice how cavalier and like just tossing that out she is? Like, oh, by the way, this is all about money. Now, I can tell you right now that having worked inside of a hospital and done some things for growing revenue for the sports medicine department alone, when I was in college, money is important because you can't do other research and other work and other things if you can't bring money to the table, right? If you are not a money maker for a hospital and for a hospital system, it is very difficult for you to be able to justify your position, right? So like, let's say you have a research fellow in sports medicine. Okay, so you need to bring enough revenue in to be able to afford that research fellow without having to get money from somewhere else, okay? But do you see how this is a joke to them? She makes jokes about how much money can be made off of this. The room is, there's like these applause and like laughter lines, right? Like it is almost as if this is a situation in which we are talking about like there's a studio audience, right? Or a laugh track that needs to be put in. And there's a pause for that laugh track to be put in. Or as Nancy Pelosi would have told us last week, this is where you're supposed to applaud.
Please clap.
Mm-hmm. Please clap.
Yeah. My question is, I mean, I get, don't get me wrong. I do believe that, you know, you have to make money somehow, right? Like that. That is one thing you have to bring in to do research to be able to advance your medical center, to be able to advance your school, your programs, things like that. I get that, right? Like, I get all of that. But when you're doing something in the name of evil, greed, and that has basically become your religion, mm-hmm. you're doing it wrong. You are not the Christian school anymore that you claim to be.
I mean, they haven't been a Christian school in a very long time. Same way that Duke is not a Presbyterian school, right? Duke has nothing to do with the Presbyterian church anymore. Vanderbilt has nothing to do with its I think Baptist roots. But I wanted to play this for three reasons. Number one, to your point, this is religion for them. Okay, because how do you so cavalierly discuss these types of surgeries? And more importantly, knowing that this is a pediatric, this isn't a adult transgendered clinic, okay? This is geared towards pediatric patients, meaning under the age of 17, okay? How do you speak so cavalierly about this topic if it isn't born out of the spirit of the age? That's the only answer I can come up with, is that you are taken over. This is evil. This is demonic. This is the spirit of the age working through you. Now, the other part and reason I wanted to bring this up is because we're told that they're the ultimate arbiters of caring and empathy and having empathy for these teenagers by and large, although some as young as 8, some as young as 10, by the way. They're the ones who have the ultimate empathy, right, for the plight and the body dysmorphia, the what do they call it, Pat? The mental issues that cause this, right?
Right.
We're told they have the ultimate empathy. Does this speech sound in any way empathetic about the patient? Or does it sound like this individual cares only about your ability to earn them money?
Considering how much they brought up money within that speech, I mean, it started to feel like every other word there for a while was, "We made this much money. We made this much money, and we brought in this." And like, considering that, no, there is there is little to no regard for any of the patients, for that matter.
Strange, right, Pat? Because I thought you were a bigot, a uncaring individual, if you decided to say, hang on a second, no, you're not doing this to our children, right? Bigot, racist, homophobe, xenophobe, whatever phobe, right?
You're all a bigot. The phobias. You're a bigot. You're a bigot and transphobe until you pay us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
I would also argue, is this rooted in actual care for the patient? No.
How could it be?
It's rooted in your ability to, again, earn them money. They see you as a dollar sign. And this is the type of medicine that, as I speak with my mom, who was inside hospitals as an employee health nurse for 30 out of her almost 40 years, okay, in the medical field. She worked in urgent care. She worked in delivery area for babies, right? This is the problem that has begun to exist over the last 20 plus years, is that because of Medicare, because of the changes in federal funding and changes in Obamacare and all of those things that have come down the pipeline, right? The patient in any situation outside of the emergency room, and even sometimes inside the emergency room, is a dollar sign. The hospital, the doctor, the clinic, whatever, right? They do not have an incentive to make sure that you are healthy, that you get right, that you get the right treatment so that you can be healthy. The incentive is to what? To keep you coming back. The incentive is, how much money does this person bring to our clinic, to our practice, to the hospital? And I want you in the audience to understand this. When you are going to see your primary care physician probably knows next to nothing about you. Literally doesn't. If they lined you up and lined up all of the patients that they have had over the past year, okay, chances are they could name, just by looking at you, less than 10% of the patient population. 30 years ago, when I was a kid, that was 100% the opposite in a primary care physician phase. But I've also told my own personal journey towards being healthier, right, Pat?
Right.
I have talked about this. A functional medicine doctor, while yes, important for them to bring patients into the door, right, to make sure that they do these things, what is their goal? Their goal is to solve your root issue. What is the root? What is the cause of what you are going through? Let us solve that. Let us attempt to do that. Now, I'm not saying that there's not money that drives some of that, right? But it's
right.
Services.
You got to make money somehow.
But it's
gotta
be services, some- right? So, mm-hmm. Yes, your visit to the doctor is going to cost money. But mm-hmm. It costs a fraction of what it would cost you to go to the primary care physician. And in my case, right, the primary care physician I saw for 5 minutes shoved me on a rheumatologist who had no interest in actually getting to the root cause, because they took the exact same amount of blood, the exact same amount of testing material, if you will, and never looked holistically, right? They just looked for the very specific thing that they're there to attempt to solve. And what was the push? Drugs, drugs, drugs. Oh, all of the drugs aren't working. We should try biologics. A life-altering step, by the way, for anybody. Bye-bye your ability to have kids. Bye-bye a lot of things in life, okay? To solve a problem that wasn't there. And I bring this up, and I bring my journey up and this up, because I want you to understand, when you go to your primary care physician, when you go to a doctor, you as the patient have to be critically aware that they don't see you as a patient that they need to solve a problem for, okay? Their goal is, how can I make the most money for myself, for my practice, for the clinic, for the hospital? And if that is, I'm going to send you to a specialist, because guess what? I get a referral fee from that specialist, right? I get the ability for the hospital to now be tied in from my clinic, right? And oh, by the way, that specialist might have something that they're going to do for you. You know, they're going to recommend an elective surgery. They're going to recommend physical therapy. They're going to recommend this, right? Ask this critical question of any doctor that you see, any specialist that you are seeing, anybody. Ask them, what is the root cause of my issue? And if they're not interested in answering that, or if they obfuscate, if they move around, go somewhere else. Go somewhere else. There are practices, primary care practices, that will do that. Go find a functional medicine doctor. Okay. Yes, they have services, but guess what? They tell you upfront what the prices are. They're transparent about the services. Do you need them? No, not necessarily. But can they help you? Here's how they can help you. You, as the patient, make the decision financially. You don't get to do that with your primary care physician. Why? Because your money is tied up to your insurance provider, and you have no clue how much those services cost. None. So I want you to think about that. Ask one very critical question of your primary care physician or any doctor you see for anything. What is the root cause of my issue? And again, if they cannot tell you, if they say, hey, you know, we need to do some testing to get there, and here's how I'm going to find that root cause, not treat the symptom, but the cause. Because this is the same thing here. It's the same principle. They're not treating the cause, right? Which is a mental issue.
Right. Cause being something like gender dysphoria.
Right. They're not treating that. That's not what they're treating. They're treating your physical appearance so that you can trick your mind. No, they're not actually teaching you techniques of how to deal with this situation. And oh, by the way, they see this as a lucrative business in conjunction with academia, right? Academia has been shoving transgendered and gender theory and queer theory down the throats of our children, pun intended, for over a decade now, Pat, probably close to two, if we've been paying attention. At least. I graduated high school in 2000. This was not a thing that anybody talked about or cared about or whatever. Were people cruel to people? Absolutely. That's life in high school for everybody, by the way. Even the so-called cool kids, right? Everybody's got problems. Everybody's got things that they need to deal with. Are you dealing with the root issue? No, you're not. You are not. How do we know this? Because again, I pointed out up front, suicidality, right? Your chances of suiciding yourself continue to go up even after transition surgeries, double mastectomies, chemical castration, irreversible hormone drugs. Yes, that's right. They're irreversible. Once you start it, you can't stop. Your body automatically begins to stop. To what degree? That can vary. It depends on how far down the road you go. But I hope you understand in the audience, this is the reality that you are dealing with in medicine. This is a window into medicine more broadly. These individuals do not care about you. They care about earning money for their pet project, for their clinic, and for themselves. That is it. They don't care about solving your problem. There are doctors, there are companies, there are places that do. And like I said, I would check out functional medicine doctors. I would check out places like Forward and membership primary care physician groups. Kind of co-op-y, but not totally co-op-y, right? I would check out those types of organizations because their monetary incentive is not to treat symptoms. Their monetary incentive is to figure out your problems. Because here's the rub. You're paying $99 a month whether you go there or not. Right? You're paying them money. So they have some skin in the game, right? Their goal is to treat you. Their goal is patient-centered, not paperwork or paper-centered.
And to be clear, we're also not saying that all primary care physicians are bad either.
Not all of them, but the vast majority of them, and some of that majority, it is simply because they are taken over by the spirit of the age. For others, it's because they're buried in the bureaucratic bullshit that they have to go through. They would love to be able to focus on patient-centered care, but they can't because they're doing paperwork, because they have to worry about hiring, you know, XYZ number of employees and getting XYZ number of patients in the door to cover the cost that is theirs, by the way. Not the hospital's, theirs. And oh, by the way, malpractice insurance. But we're not done here, folks. Because Matt Walsh continues to expose these absolutely demonic human beings. Dr. Ellen Clayton, concerned that not all of its staff is going to be on board with transition for everybody, right? Issues a shot across the bow. And I want you to understand exactly what these people are going to do if you don't comply. I want you to understand it.
If you are going to assert conscientious objection, you have to realize that that is problematic. You are doing something to another person, and you are not paying for the cost for your belief. I think that is a real issue. So I think, you know, so yes, Vanderbilt, if someone has a conscientious objection to participating in this sort of surgery, it would probably have to accommodate you to the extent that you can find another person who can do your job, who doesn't have an objection, other things of that nature. But I just want you to take home that saying that you're not going to do something because of your conscientious, because of your religious beliefs, is not without consequences, and it should not be without consequences. And I just want to put that out there. We are given enormous, if you don't want to do this kind of work, don't work at Vanderbilt.
What?
So if I have a conscientious belief that I believe that transgender reassignment surgery for kids is bad, mm-hmm. I'm hurting somebody else?
Yes, you are, Pat. Yes, you are.
Mm-hmm. How exactly?
Ich weiß nicht, Pat. Ich weiß nicht.
I don't speak German.
That means I don't know. But Pat, lest you think this is just a thinly veiled threat, right? Because this was clearly, let me be 100% on this. This was clearly a threat. Either get on board or get out, right? Lest you think that this was just some empty threat. Matt Walsh also unveiled, yesterday, in case the conscientious objectors hadn't gotten the memo from that talk and others, Vanderbilt has a program called Trans Buddies. The quote-unquote buddies are, wait for this, trans rights activists from the Nashville community who allegedly attend appointments with trans patients. They monitor the doctors to guard against quote-unquote unsafe behavior, such as misgendering. And, just wait for this, Vanderbilt makes their trans buddies available to children. Now, these trans buddies also make lots of quote-unquote services to those children, including chemical castration, Pat. That's right. Those trans bodies get to chemically castrate people at the behest of Vanderbilt's pediatric transgendered clinic. Now, after they have drugged and sterilized the kids, Vanderbilt, as explained in a video that I didn't have time to download, but in a video presentation by plastic surgeon Julian Winokur and physician's assistant Shaylin, Vander Blumen, they'll happily perform double mastectomies on adolescent girls. So that's right. They will castrate you. They will sterilize you. They will mutilate you as a minor, as well as some adults out there too. And by the way, all of this outside the purview of public view and without the permission of parents.
This has to be on the same level in my mind as child molestation.
It has to be. Oh, but I'm not done with the story, Pat.
Oh, son of a... Are you kidding me?
No, because further investigation has revealed that these quote-unquote trans buddies have harassed, harangued, they have gone after those conscientious objectors that work at Vanderbilt to toe the line or else, right? They've basically become Vanderbilt's pediatric transgendered clinics Gestapo. Okay. They have proof of this, by the way, in which people have literally had to put restraining orders on these so-called trans buddies because they've been following them. They've been harassing them. They've been haranguing them out in public, going to their homes, all sorts of stuff. This is just demonic, Pat. This is absolutely... If you find this to be okay on any level, I'm just going to say this. You are a horrible human being. Go to hell. Stop listening to this show, more importantly. And I want nothing to do with you. Like, some people are like, oh my God, you don't want to be friends. No, I literally do not want to be friends with anybody who thinks that this is okay. If you think that this treatment, this action by activists, if you think threatening employees into doing something that is against their moral, religious belief system, if you think that that is okay, you are a terrible person. Go to hell.
If there's anybody that needs to be castrated here, it's anybody that would be that is
most
willfully,
of them probably already have been, Pat.
Fair enough.
Not saying, I'm just saying.
But you get my point. Like,
oh, 100% get your point.
This is like you come near the children. I mean, this is like public castration type deal, level type stuff. But if that's not a good enough punishment anymore.
But naturally, because, you know, an update to this story, because Matt Walsh happened to do factual reporting, this thing that the general media cannot seem to get.
Right.
Trans activists are now telling the FBI, the Department of Justice to go after Matt Walsh. Thus proving his point about you in the trans buddy community, if you will, right? You are literally right. Attempting to intimidate, harass, harangue people into compliance with your bullshit ideology. And let me be clear on this. This isn't some this is nothing to do with biology, reality. This is subjective truth for them. This is subjective versus objective truth, as we've talked about. So, yeah, your ideology, your subjective ideology is pure and utter bullshit. Prove me wrong. You can't, because you live in subjective reality land, not objective reality. There's objective truth, and that's it. There's the truth.
Bill Lee, the governor of Tennessee.
I just want to make sure that people understand when I talk about the truth, it is the search for truth, okay? That means things can change over time. I'm not saying that things can't change over time, right? So, like, great example. The science trademark, the truth registered trademark, Lord Savior President Dr. Anthony Fauci, back in the 80s, told us all sorts of lies about what you can or how you can get AIDS, right?
Right.
Okay. That was the truth. However, we furthered research and experimentation on AIDS and HIV to understand it further and further and further. And now we fully understand HIV and AIDS and what it can do to the body, how it's really, you know, passed along and all of that stuff. So we continue to pursue the truth, and we can change based off of new information and new facts. Your subjective reality is based off of lies, not truth. There is no basis in biological reality, and there's no base in reality, period. So we are already dealing with something that is untrue. We're not dealing with like HIV and AIDS, in which it's just something we don't physically understand or biologically understand fully yet. So therefore, we can change based off of our better understanding of that objective reality of HIV and AIDS. I'm using that as the example here, but continue on, Pat.
I was just going to say that the Governor Bill Lee of Tennessee is calling for an investigation into Vanderbilt following the intrepid reporting of Matt Walsh and his team.
Because I guarantee you there are federal laws being broken here. I guarantee you there are state laws being broken here. And more importantly, this should be a very simple situation. Federal and state funding, especially state funding, if there's any state funding for Vanderbilt University, done and dusted until you fix this. It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm.
Also, how hard is it to say, look, you're an adult, you can make this decision for yourself?
Right.
But this is the problem I have with the queer and gender theory crowd. I'm willing to grant you your premise that, hey, guess what? You're an adult, you can choose what you want to do to yourself. That doesn't mean that I have to agree with it or accept it, but you can do it. Okay.
But that's not enough for them. That's not enough for them.
But there's a second part of this. Okay. So I'll agree to that. If you can agree to when children are going through hormonal neuropathic changes, right? Known as adolescence, we leave them alone because they are going through those changes and they go through all sorts of phases, both physically, psychologically, and of course, culturally, right? I mean, how many times the goth phase, right? How many kids do you know that were gothic in high school, right? Because it was the cool thing to do.
Right. And that aren't now.
Right. How many of them listened to Nine Inch Nails and Marilyn Manson and would never touch either one of them now? Quite a few of them, right? Mm-hmm. How many of them were massive, you know, hip hop fans wearing baggy jeans and sagging pants and don't do that anymore either? And they listen to country music today, right?
Like, right.
Let's just make sure that these are not phases of adolescent thought processes in the mix-ups of the mind, right? People go through all sorts of weird things in adolescence.
But we don't
as a society just pat them on the head and say, that's okay. Mm-hmm. No. And more importantly, we don't mutilate the body to do that. We just don't.
Correct. But a lot of this becomes like when you're going through adolescence, because like back in when we were growing up, you know, the baggy jeans and the gothic phase, whatever was your crowd, if you will, a lot of that was a fad, right? That was the times, mm-hmm, that you grew up in, and you were influenced by those times growing up in adolescence. You thought, ooh, if I dress this way, I'll be cool.
Yeah, bowl cuts and now parts right down the middle. right? I mean, right. If I look back at some of the pictures of like my soccer playing days in high school and go, what the hell? Right?
Yeah,
like, oh, hell no.
Yeah. Now, you know, the fad is, let's be gay together. Let's go through transition surgery together. Let's become trans. You know, that is today's fad. Because how many people, you know, like you said, suicide rates go up after post-transition. How many people actually regret their transition post-transition? I mean, it's the numbers don't lie. They don't lie.
Yeah, it's just insane. And good on Bill Lee, the governor. Now, this is an easy political win, too. This is a great political PR part of this. But having the courage to stand up, because let's be real. This is the standing up to the trans activist community. And they're vicious. They're violent, by the way. And they are nasty. They will lie. Like, the Human Rights Campaign lies so bad when it comes to the violence against the trans community, especially the black trans women community. We hear, oh, my God, the black trans woman is, you know, blah, 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 blah. And we know, I think I've gone through the statistics on this in the past on the show, but literally, out of all of the violence against black trans women situations and violence against trans people situations, like death, murder, not a single one of them was because the individual was trans. Not one. Not because of that. Every single one of them, Pat, drugs, prostitution, or lying to an individual about their trans status and attempting to trick them into having gay sex. That had nothing to do with them being trans. It had everything to do with them lying and attempting to sodomize somebody else. Pretty sure if you attempt that, there's going to be severe consequences with moi.
Right.
Right. So,
which in my head, isn't that
literally
justly so?
90? I think it's 95%. There's only drugs. Oh, Pat, hang on a second. I got it. In general society, if you evolved in risky behavior like drug use, like prostitution, like multiple sexual partners, right? If you are engaged in risky behaviors, like getting hammered drunk at a bar and not knowing where you are or who you're with, right? That's a risky behavior. Why? Because all sorts of bad things can happen. Because you are not in control of your own behavior, let alone the behavior of others, okay? But in general society, drugs, prostitution, bad decisions lead to what? Bad outcomes. It's just that simple. If you put yourself in less dangerous situations, you have less of a chance of violence. I could live in the most violent part of Chicago. You know, I could live in the middle of Inglewood or Austin, right? Or East or West Garfield Park. Okay, I could live in any of those areas and never, ever be a victim of violence there, because I would never put myself in situations that would do that to myself. Turns out that if you are a gang member, if you put yourself in dangerous, violent situations, if you are involved in risky behavior, you up your quotient of violent things happening to you. That's why what happened to the woman in Memphis, right, as she's just going for a jog, is so jarring. That is why some of these stories gain national attention, because these are people who are not engaged in risky behavior per se. Would it be a risk to go jogging after dark? Potentially. But notice how she mitigated that with like flash clothing and, you know, bright colored clothing so that people can see her, right? She was mitigating her own risk. It bothers me to no end that I'm supposed to accept that your risky behavior means I have to treat you any differently than any of the rest of society who also engages in that risky behavior? Can I feel bad that you died? Yeah, sure. I can have empathy for that. It sucks for the family. It sucks for the friends. It sucks for the people that knew you. But I can't empathize with the fact that you put yourself in a situation in which, yeah, a drug deal gone bad ends in violence, Pat? No freaking way. No way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right. So with all of that having been said, Pat, let's go ahead and skip the B or not the B today.
Okay.
Let us go right into our WTF Wednesday segment. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm very ready for this.
All right. Hit me with the first headline, please.
Vandal defaces Washington Monument.
How did they?
Yeah.
First, Pat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Have you visited Washington, D.C. before?
Long time ago, but yes.
A long time ago. Anyway, I did as well. And I've visited D.C. four times now in my life.
Mm-hmm. I've only been four once. Times.
Last time was in 2007, by the way. So it's been quite a while since I've been there, and I'd like to go back because the World War II Memorial was not even finished yet. I would love to see it. Now, that all happened.
I was 11.
I'm assuming you went at least to the Washington Monument or around the Washington Monument?
Yes.
Okay. Last time I checked, that is a heavily fortified, heavily guarded area, correct?
It is. Uh-huh.
How the hell did a vandal get there? How?
I don't know, but what I do know is that someone painted on the side with red paint. There is an individual, they got arrested, and what they put on is like, have you ever been effed by this? With an arrow.
Oh, so it's because Washington was a racist slave owner, right? We're going to go with presentism, and I love that term. I love that term from our fine friend, Bill Maher. And by fine friend, I mean liberal as all hell, still Bill Maher. But he is at least on team objective reality.
True.
He just might disagree with us on the prescription for the problems that objective reality presents to us, right?
But he at least critically thinks to some degree.
Mm-hmm. Also, by the way, are they talking about that as a phallic symbol? Question? Sub-question?
Because
it definitely is, right? I mean...
Yeah.
I just... Come on, people. Seriously? The Washington Monument?
Of all things.
Yeah. George Washington. Yeah, total racist. Oh, wait. His biggest confidant, his... aide-de-camp, if you will, the person he trusted the most during the Revolutionary War was a black person.
Yeah.
Total racist.
Alrighty, you ready for the next one?
Yeah, bring it.
More people have been dying this year due to irregular heartbeats, official figures official figures suggest.
Well, gee, Pat, we've never hinted that this was going to be a thing. We've never had statistics that told us that. We've never seen increase in myocarditis cases amongst those that are 12 to 18. We've never seen normal, healthy soccer playing individuals drop dead on the. Oh, wait.
Yeah, we did.
Yes, we did. Folks. I asked the question up front when we got to COVID-19 restrictions. Is the cure worse than the disease? What we are seeing, and all of the evidence that I have gathered and talked to you about, presented to you, whether it's here, Twitter, Getter, wherever. By the way, you can follow at the Coppin Show, at the Pat Oney Show. All of those places, right here on the show, has told you this for 2 years now, Pat. We've had all of the evidence to suggest that this was going to be the case, that these mitigation strategies, by the way, it was the same question about remdesivir causing issues.
Mm.
versus ivermectin. I mean, it's insane. This whole thing is insane when it comes to remedies for COVID-19 and therapeutics, right? Let's not try the cheap, proven to work alternatives, right? Let's not try the ivermectins of the world. Let's go ahead with that really expensive remdesivir that certain individuals higher up in our government happens to. Wait a moment. I'm not saying ivermectin's a cure-all. What I am saying is that ivermectin gives you almost as good of a chance of survival of being sick of COVID-19 as you getting a jab. And, oh, by the way, has none of the negative consequences. How do we know this? Because it's literally been given to hundreds of millions of people over the last 60 bleeping years for all sorts of ailments.
And did it not win like a Nobel Prize?
Yes, it has won a Nobel Peace Prize for its innovation. I'm listening to the Real Dictators podcast a lot lately, and they're on Papa Doc, the dictator and brutal authoritarian of Haiti in the 60s, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Late 50s, early 60s, into the 70s, I believe. How he got the nickname Papa Doc is because he went to the University of Michigan, okay, to become a doctor, and discovered the use of penicillin. And I think it's called yaw disease. It's like a tropical disease that happens and kills lots of people on the island of Haiti. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he found out that penicillin can cure it. So he was a hero for that. Right. Penicillin, one of the greatest things that has ever come about. But it does have consequences. Ivermectin literally has none. There are no negative. You're going to die if you take this kind of consequences. Oh, your heart's going to explode. Oh, wait, you're going to have cardiac issues. No, 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 no. And more. No. It is one of the most harmless drugs on a human body that you can find. But let's try remdesivir that has harm, that doesn't work, that actually made things worse for a lot of people. Let's try, what's the one that they took that Biden and the science, the truth, Lord Savior President Dr. Anthony Fauci took? Paxlovid.
Paxlovid, yeah.
Yeah, how'd that work out for him?
They got rebound.
I don't know of a single person who's taken ivermectin and had rebound COVID.
Mm.
Period. And what do you mean by rebound COVID? Symptomatic COVID. It shouldn't happen twice in a week, by the way.
Right.
Over the course of 4 to 5 days, you should be getting better. You shouldn't get sicker again immediately after that. That shouldn't happen. All right, one more, Pat.
Ooh, which one do I want to go with? We'll stick with this one. Kamala Harris brags, compares herself to the immortal John Adams.
Wait, what?
Kamala Harris brags, compares herself to the immortal John Adams.
For what? How? What? The...
So as... This is a quote from her. So as vice president, I am also the president of the United States Senate. And in this role, this is for historians here, I broke John Adams' record of casting the most tie-breaking votes in a single term. Oh, yeah,
I've seen this one. Yep.
So for context, this kid who was born in Oakland, California, and graduated from an HBCU just broke the record of John Adams. I think we should all fully appreciate how history can take a turn.
This is a weird flex. Okay. This is really weird. Like, you're bragging about having to break ties in the Senate.
Mind you, is she also calling John Adams a racist?
How?
Well, I mean, she had to bring up an HBCU, you know, where she graduated from, that she's from California.
Except for John Adams was for black education, by the way.
I know. But he was a founding father.
Except for John Adams never owned slaves. And John Adams was a virulent abolitionist, by the way.
I just don't see the point of
what the hell is she talking about?
Yeah, I just don't see the reason why you need to point that out.
Like, okay, that is true. She did break that record. Mm. But that is a weird flex, man. A very weird flex. Like, in the words of Karine Jean-Pierre, science. What? And with that, Pat, your final thoughts on today's show.
Don't get lost. Remember who you are. No means no. And Vanderbilt is leading society and going to hell in a handbasket.
Also, what are they doing in the SEC? And with that, please be smart, be safe, be kind. As always, Matthew 5:47.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.